Good morning and welcome to the February 9th, 2010 Board of Supervisors meeting. Would you please stand and join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's Animal Day at the Board of Supervisors. You may remember this as the DeMartini Pet Subsidy Program that was started last year. We're going to take that back and call it, from now on, the Board of Supervisors Adopt a Pet Presentation. And we've had, thanks to Jim, we've had some really good results. You might remember that on December the 22nd, 3 days before Christmas, we had with us Dexter, a dog. He was adopted that afternoon when he got back to the center. And 2 days later, Jazzy was adopted on the 24th. So this is really working out to be a good program. We're going to want to see a lot more of that in the next few years. Today we have with us as our cat, Sully. He's an orange neutered tabby with a very distinctive spot of dark fur by his neck. Can you show off the dark spot? He's very inquisitive and loves to be with people. Sully has been at the shelter since December the 28th and is hoping to spend this spring exploring a new home. And then our dog visitor today, maybe he wants to take a walk out front so folks can see him and the camera can catch him. Our dog featured today is Pink. She's a white pit bull and has a dusting of black spots. She's just a young girl and is ready for some training, but is very playful and loves toys. She is spayed and ready to go home with someone today. So, Sully and Pink. Just some extra information. Both animals are available today for adoption at the Stanislaus County Animal Shelter. All the dogs and cats available for adoption at the shelter have been spayed or neutered, microchipped, and have all their shots. To adopt either of these animals or other available animals, please visit the shelter at 2846 Finch Road in Modesto, or call the animal shelter at 558-7387. All adoptable animals can be viewed at the website www.stancounty.com/animalservices. And remember, the animal services will be closed on Monday the 15th for President's Day and will reopen on the 16th at 9 a.m. So thank you, Sully and Pink, for visiting us today. We have a number of recognitions for employee service, and we'd like to start first with a recognition from the Parks Department and Ms. Herrigfield.
Good morning. It's with great pleasure today that we get to honor Edwin Espinoza, who's in the audience, and his family. We're here to recognize Eddie. I've always known him as Eddie, so we're here to recognize Eddie for his 35 years of service. In July 1976, Eddie was hired as a park aide. He's been an excellent employee. He's been promoted throughout the ranks to his current position, which he was promoted to in which is a park maintenance 3 in July of 1996. One of the things that you really need to know about Eddie is in his 35 years of service, every time I have ever been out at Woodward Reservoir, there is always a smile on that man's face. I mean, there can be a lineup at the entrance station, and he will always have a smile on his face. He has been an integral part of training all of our young staff, our park aides, and our AWPs that come through. He's knowledgeable, he's conscientious, he is a very, very diligent worker. But the thing I think I admire most about him in all of my contacts with him is that smile. And he spent a great deal of time providing excellent supervision to our staff. In the Parks Department, a lot of times we rely heavily on AWP workers, and he has trained the other park maintenance ones and twos to supervise he's supervised our park maintenance workers, who in turn supervise our alternative work program staff. He's been very integral in providing the knowledge, the experience that I don't know, 25, 30 years of experience that he's had out at Woodward Reservoir. It's just been essential in the smooth operation of that facility during these very, very critical times. I can't say enough about Eddie. I mean, he's one of the individuals that when I go out to Woodward Reservoir, I always want to say hi to, because one thing that'll happen is I'll get an extended hand and a big smile. Eddie, I would like to thank you very much for 35 years of service. You have been just an outstanding employee, and you make our operation run very smoothly. Thank you again.
Eddie, would you join us up here for a picture, an opportunity for you to share? Why don't you turn around here so the audience can enjoy that big smile. It's wonderful to see the support from your family and friends today. And on behalf of the board, I want to thank you for 35 years of service. I didn't hear anything about you having an indie date, so we'll look forward to seeing you up here a couple more times as we recognize your service. So here's a note of this, and then is there anything you'd care to say to the audience today?
I would just like to say thank you. I don't know when I'm going to retire yet, so I can't give you a definite date on that. I know that I'm costing the county some money. I'm still on tier one, but I enjoy my job, so it's hard to say when I'm going to retire. Thank you very much.
Then we have several 30-year service awards today, and we'll start with Phyllis Gamboa from the Community Services Agency, and we have Kathy Harwell here with us to note that.
Good morning. It is definitely my pleasure to introduce to you Phyllis Gamboa. Phyllis has worked for the Community Services Agency for over 30 years. And watching our agency change names three times, Phyllis is still the same wonderful person that she started at the very first day she started. Phyllis began her career path with us as a typist clerk one on December 1st, 1979. She very quickly learned that there was a career path here at CSA for her. She became an eligibility worker in 1980 and went on to become an eligibility supervisor in 2000. Phyllis has worked in all of the programs in our Stanworks division, including CalWORKs, food stamps, and Medi-Cal, in both intake and continuing. She has also worked in our quality control and ensuring the excellence work that is done in our programs. Not only that, she served as a training unit lead, in which she helped to train several family services specialists over the years. She is currently a supervisor in our Spanish bilingual unit of Medi-Cal and food stamp continuing workers. She has witnessed many, many changes in our organization and has helped to lead us on the path that we've been going. She has also done an excellent job over the years in providing customer service. One of the things that Phyllis is most noted for is all the letters that she has received over the years from her customers about how much she has done to help them in navigating through the very complicated programs that we serve, especially the Medi-Cal program. Phyllis has also taken additional responsibility here at CSA. She does the testing and certifying for the Portuguese language and is very active in our cultural awareness program. She has also served as the United Way coordinator for the campaign, and she speaks three languages. On her own time, Phyllis loves to spend time with her family. She's very family-oriented and spends her free time with her mom, her husband of 32 years, congratulations, Phyllis, and her two wonderful sons and beautiful daughter. So thank you, Phyllis, for everything that you've done for the Community Services Agency and the customers that we serve in the community.
Thank you. Folks, she'll join us up here.
Well, thank you for these 30 wonderful years. Anything you'd care to share with the audience today?
I just want to say that it's been a wonderful place to work. I love working for Community Services Agency, and the 30 years have flown by. I just can't believe it. And I have gotten to know a lot of wonderful people, made really good friends, and I just can't say enough about working for Santa Claus County.
So we have another 30 years?
Yeah. We do. Phyllis and Loopy have been best friends at our agency over their 30 years career. And it's my honor also to present to you today Loopy Garza for her 30 years. Loopy, too, started Stanislaus County as a typist clerk one, except it was, I think, 7 days after, actually 27 days after Phyllis started. She became an eligibility worker also. She also saw that there was a career path here at CSA. And really, Phyllis and Loopy, their careers have followed each other throughout the 30 years. She became an eligibility worker in March of 1988. But however, Loopy spent most of her career in the Medi-Cal program. Medi-Cal is her passion. Connecting individuals to health care throughout the county has always been where Loopy has spent her focus. She was promoted to the Quality Assurance Review Team, where she was instrumental in revising the Medi-Cal Quality Assurance Review Packet to ensure that customers received the benefits that they were entitled to. She then became a lead worker at our Scenic Outstation before promoting to an eligibility supervisor in 2001. Loopy is currently supervising a Spanish bilingual unit of Medi-Cal and food stamp continuing workers. Loopy, too, has received numerous thank yous for taking on additional duties. Loopy always has a can-do attitude and wants to improve the work environment for all of our employees as well as for our customers. She's active in our cultural awareness training, Hispanic Health Day events, and Medi-Cal outreach. Loopy has spent numerous, countless Saturdays out in the community sharing information about our Medi-Cal program, ensuring that everybody that is eligible is connected to the program and has access to health care. She has a strong sense of community. Loopy is friendly, funny, and has a great sense of humor and is liked by everyone. She is extremely family-oriented and spends her free time with her husband of 34 years, congratulations, and her two beautiful daughters, riding the dunes and camping. Now, Loopy has a secret that we're going to share here today. Loopy is an actress. She was in a movie that her daughters were writing, directing, and producing while in college. So be sure today to get her autograph, because you just never know where she's going to be in the future. I'd like to present to you Loopy Garza.
Hi, Loopy. I'm going to hand you your certificate, but what we really want to know is about your movie career. So if you could tell us a little bit about that.
No. It's still being edited, so as soon as it's out, then we'll let you know.
Anything to share with us regarding the 30 years here with your county career?
No, just like my friend, it's been a great 30 years, and when we first started, we didn't think we'd be standing up here, but here we are.
Anything that you and Phyllis have done in the last 30 years that you would never want to share but would be willing to tell us about now? Okay, well, thank you very much for your service. We have a 30-year award from the Sheriff's Department, and we have Assistant Sheriff Hine here today.
Bill Hood. Sheriff Grover and members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring. We're here today to actually celebrate Supervising Legal Clerk Connie Watson's almost 33 years of service. And to give that a little perspective, I want to take you back in time. In 1977, you could pull up to a gas station and actually someone would come out to your car, pump the gas, wash your windows, and only charge you 65 cents a gallon. In 1977, you could buy a home for $49,000. In 1977, you went to the movie theater, you watched the original release of Star Wars, Rocky, and Saturday Night Fever. In 1977, scientists were warning us that there was a coming ice age. Connie Watson, in 1977, in violation of child labor laws, started in our civil process division. And over the years, she promoted through the ranks to her current position. And I must say that Connie has done very well for herself in this position. She is recognized up and down the state for her knowledge regarding civil issues. She, for several years, has taught classes on evictions for the Modesto Police Department. She has received commendations for doing research and writing books to assist law enforcement and landlord-tenant issues. She's a member of the California State Sheriff's Civil Committee and has received awards for her assistance in redevelopment of the basic civil procedure courses. Many of Mrs. Watson's colleagues call her constantly to ask her opinion related to issues that they're dealing with in their communities. Connie has also been involved in a lot of charity organizations, including 5 bacon bowls when those used to take place. Connie is married, has 4 children, 2 of which are serving our country in the military. And she's a proud grandmother of 3 grandchildren and 1 still on the way, not here just yet. Would you join me in congratulating Connie Watson for over 30 years of service to this county?
Morning, Connie. Thank you for 33 years. That's wonderful. Who was the sheriff when you started working here?
Linwood.
And what grade in grammar school do you think the current sheriff was in when you started here? Do you have anything to share with us from your time here?
Yeah, he made me feel really old. I think it's been a long time, but it's been fun. I've enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
On behalf of the board, thank you. And then Kathy Harwell has another award for us, 25 years of service with the CSA.
Good morning again. It is very much my pleasure to introduce to you today Maria DeAnda. Maria has 25 years of service with the county. Now, Maria had a little trouble trying to figure out which department she really wanted to stay working with. So we're going to share a few departments that Maria has worked for over the years. Maria started as a part-time counselor with Modesto Junior College, and then came to the Community Services Agency, formerly known back then as the Department of Social Services, as an eligibility worker too. And she determined eligibility and intake for our ASDC program, Aid to Families with Dependent Children. Over the years, again, we've changed names of things so often. In 1988, Maria became an employment coordinator too in the GAIN program. And she managed education, vocational training, and assessment for individuals that were looking to develop job skills. In 1990, she was promoted to an Eligibility Coordinator 3 and took on a lead position at the Community Services Agency and later on transferred to the Department of Employment and Training. In 1997, she was promoted to a supervisor at the Department of Employment and Training and supervised job club, job search, and job readiness. In 2005, she decided to come back to Community Services Agency, and we were very, very pleased to have Maria come back and join us and bring her expertise as a manager, too. She became a site supervisor for our TRU lockout station, and then later on promoted to Manager 3, where she is now serving as the intake manager at the Community Services Facility and has oversight for both the West Modesto intake facility as well as the staff that are at the Scenic outstation. She has several notable achievements that I'd like to tell you about today. Maria is a Spanish certified interpreter. She is a notary public. She holds a certificate achievement in the McCarran-Dial system, a basic vocational evaluation of the neuropsychological disabled. She has, from 1990 to 2000, she served as an elected member in the supervisor committee at the Valley First Credit Union, where she oversaw the credit union operations to ensure compliance with the state and federal regulations. From October of 1990 to 2000, she served as a trustee elected general employee on the Stanislaus County Employee Retirement Association Board. And currently, she's serving on the Stanislaus County Employee Retirement Association, where she's serving as the vice chair. Maria has many personality characteristics. If you have any time to spend with Maria, you will always know that she is kind, she is warm, and she's very friendly. She has a positive attitude, and she's always willing to listen to others, and she's extremely knowledgeable and approachable. She's always looking for ways to improve whatever program she's working on, and right now in intake, she's working on improving access to our customers through website, internet, applications. She's a true leader, she's consistent, she's non-judgmental, and she's supportive. And we're very, very, very lucky to have Maria at Community Services Agency. One thing about Maria is she loves to sing, and she constantly knows all of her lyrics in both English and Spanish. Let me present to you Maria DeAnda.
Thank you, Gabby.
We had a movie star, now we have a singer.
Actually, what they didn't say is that I only remember the first line of any song.
Well, thank you for 25 years. Anything you'd care to share with the group?
Actually, it's been a great 25 years. I never thought I'd say that, but it has been. It's been a pleasure serving not only the citizens of Stanislaus County, the business itself, as well as my fellow employees. So hope to do this a few more years, and then we'll see. I don't know if I'll be around for 35 years, but close.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Once again, congratulations and thank you to all five of the recipients today. The next item is Stanislaus County Safety Leadership Recognition, and we'll start with some comments by David Delaner.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Chief Executive Officer Richard Robinson, and County Council Jack Doring. I'm David Delaner. I'm the Deputy Executive Officer in the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Today we have another presentation for you to enjoy. Just a reminder, the Safety Board recommended this particular process to hopefully increase the level of safety culture within the organization. We recognize departments and or individuals. In the past, we've recognized safety representatives for their excellent service that they provided to their departments. We've recognized safety representatives who are retiring, and you've also received two other safety recognition presentations from the Departments of Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, as well as the Department of Public Works. It is my pleasure and honor to indicate to you today that we are going to give recognition to the Chief Executive Office for the excellent work that they've done. We have an interesting presentation to provide you to show you some statistics of where we were and where we're going. At this time, I'd like to turn the time over to our Chief Executive Officer, Richard Robinson. Thank you.
Thank you, David. I appreciate this opportunity to provide to the Board of Supervisors and to the public an overview and background of not only what we do in the Chief Executive Office and associated branches of government over which the CEO's office has direct or indirect responsibility, but also kind of a snapshot of where we've been, where we are, and where we hope to go in the future. It is a pleasure for me to ask in just a moment David Becker to come forward and provide to you some insight and instruction relative to what we have done, some of our best practices, and why we think as an organization we are more successful than many throughout the state of California. David is our instructor at our quarterly all staff safety meetings and does an exceptional job presenting to us timely safety topics on a regular basis and reminding us that those things that we do both on the job and at home affect our lives, and not only our lives, but the lives of those persons around us. So without further comment, and I will have closing comments at the conclusion of David's presentation, but I would like to introduce David Becker to you.
Thank you, and good morning, gentlemen. It's my pleasure to assist Mr. Robinson in the presentation this morning. This is a presentation in regards to the Chief Executive Office, as he has mentioned, but it's also a review and part of where the county has been since the Chief Executive Office first embarked upon what I would consider a cultural change starting back in about 1994. 1994 to 1998, as you can see on the overhead, the county started its present safety program. But from 1994 to 1998, it really had very little to do with the CEO's office. We were producing policies, procedures, and doing massive trainings throughout the entire county. And about the third, fourth quarter of 1998, we turned around and looked at the CEO and said, shouldn't we follow our own rules and shouldn't we be playing the game also? And it was agreed that we should be. So in 1998, in the fourth quarter, the Chief Executive Office began its own safety program within its own department. The overhead that you can see in front of you now is looking at the county. We had established different minimum standards for all county departments to meet. Our theory was if we don't set a minimum standard and if we don't monitor a minimum standard, then we'll never know how they're doing. And if we don't know how they're doing, we certainly cannot improve it or help them improve. And you can see here in the third quarter of 1999, we started out our compliance with 29% compliance. We were a little bit less than enamored with that figure. And you can see that we continued to struggle with compliance until actually the first quarter of 2006, where we started to notice some real consistent improvement. I'm sorry, I'll say that again, 2005. I'll get it right. We've been up and down, but the county now, as you can see from 2005 first quarter, has been at or near 100% and doing that fairly consistently. It was in the fourth quarter of 1998 that the Chief Executive Office started its own safety incentive program, which again is something that is allowed by California state law and also approved by the Safety Board and this board to have a safety incentive program. And in the next overhead, you can see that from 2000, the first quarter on, the CEO's office has attempted to lead the pack in saying, we will follow the rules and regulations as set forth for everybody else. You will note that there is an asterisk there for the fourth quarter of 2001. That was the 9/11 tragedy. And to be honest with you, I haven't the slightest idea how we did that that quarter. We were very occupied with other duties and responsibilities, and I don't know how we did. It just is unknown to me. You can also see that there were anomalies in 2003. We, like everybody else, sometimes forget to fill out one piece of paper. We are very, very dogmatic. If the close of the record keeping is on December 31st and it's not filed until January 1st, the boat sailed and we can't get back on. So we have held ourselves to the same standard as we have held every other department in the county. And you can see that I think we've done a pretty good job there. In the fourth quarter of 1998, we started the CEO Safety Incentive Program, and the blue lines that you're seeing here represents divisions that have won the contest. There are several things that you can do to win this contest. First of all, we do look at injuries and whether or not you've had injuries or not by the division. We also look at how many of your people attended the all-staff meetings or took part in the safety training. We also look at safety suggestions that have been made to improve the safety of the workforce, and we also look at safety inspections that were done to make sure that your facility is up to safety specifications. And again, as you can see, we're being very honest here. We were a little bit less than enamored by this because you can see there were probably up to 6 divisions in the CEO's department, and we continuously went between 2 and 1 up to 3, but it was a little bit less than what we had hoped for. So in the third quarter of 2002, we actually issued a challenge to the CEO's department with the then CEO right here in this room, and we said very plainly, if we're not willing to walk the talk, how can we expect others to do that? And from that time on, we have made a more diligent effort at trying to walk the talk within our own departments. And you can see from this overhead that we jumped from 3 to 5 and then went down a little bit. I will say that in the first quarter of 04 and the second quarter of 04, we had some budgetary problems, probably not as severe as what we're seeing right now. And I remember that in the second quarter, we received a call from the CEO's office, Patty Hill Thomas, who told us that due to budget restraints, we were going to have to basically do away with the safety incentive program. And we communicated with her the successes of this program, and she responded back almost immediately that obviously we're not going to scrap a program that has been this successful, but could you meet with your counterparts within our department and see if we can improve and become a little bit more cost effective? And we were able to revamp the program and bring that budget back down. But she said that we would obviously not change the safety incentive program because it had been so successful. In the third quarter of 04, we issued a second challenge to the CEO, Rick Robinson, again in this very room. And you know, I always talk to the CEO before I do that because I don't want to challenge him in front of 100 people and have him say, what? He has always been very gracious at accepting these impromptu challenges. But you can see after the second challenge, we went up to 3 and then up to 5 and then all the way up to 6 divisions. Now, today there are only 5 divisions in the CEO's department. And if you go back and look at the full record, you'll see that SBT used to be part of our department. Now it's its own department. Some of the GSA divisions used to be a CEO department. Now they've been put into the GSA. So now we're down to 5 divisions. And you can see that we have done much better in this overhead. You will see also that there was a third challenge issued after the first quarter of 09. And that was because, again, we're monitoring what's going on. And both myself and Mr. Robinson noted that it wasn't 5 anymore. And we asked why it wasn't 5 anymore. And we tried to refocus the teams on what we're talking about, you know, safety suggestions and doing your safety inspections and showing up for the safety meetings and doing those things, which are the minimum requirements for all employees. And I'm glad to say that now we're back up to 5 again. And as a matter of fact, in this particular room, I looked at Rick Robinson and I said, I would like to spend some of your money. And we don't have much to spend right now, but he was gracious enough to say that he would also like to spend more money in this particular program because of the return on investment. Okay. During our baseline years, which was 1982 to 2002, the CEO's office experienced on an average of 9.5 injuries per year for a cost of about $132,000 per year in injury cost. We felt that was too high. We felt we could do better. So after this program was started, the first challenge, you will note that we dropped to 2 injuries that year and spent a total of $4,000. We think that's considerably better than $132,000. And during the next year, we went up to 4 injuries, but obviously the severity was less. We only spent $2,000, which again, we think is considerably better than $132,000. After the second challenge, we met our goal it's been Mr. Robinson's goal that we have zero injuries. I think it's an aggressive goal. I think it's a worthwhile goal. I think that there'll probably be some years that we don't make that goal, because we do have people that sometimes get rear-ended or at stop signs, and that is one of the injuries that are showing up here on this overhead. But in 2004, 5, and 6, we had zero injuries. In 2007, 2008, one injury, and we spent $2,100. And then the 2008, 2009, we had two injuries at $5,300. When you look at where we started, our baseline, if you continue that out, we would have spent $900,000 on injuries. The safety incentive program, we have spent $14,000 on that safety incentive program. And if you minus out the injuries that we just covered in the other slides, that's another $13,400. So we consider the savings at about $883,000, which we think is a good return on investment. Another way of looking at it, and now we're looking at the entire county again, is the baseline was 94-95 at 658. And you can see, as I just showed you in our overheads for the CEO, this slide shows you the overhead for the county. We've had good years, we've had not so good years. Safety is not a given. It's a somewhat of a struggle, but the culture has been improving. And as of last year, it was 267. And I almost hate to say this, and maybe some other people in the room will cringe when I do say this, but I think this year we could be down below 200. We might do much better than 200 this year. And I probably shouldn't go any further because it's not over yet. So we will see. So from here, where do we go from here? And as I said, I was helping Mr. Robinson do this presentation, and I think that I've brought that to where I can take it. So as to where we go from here, I'd like to return the floor to you. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Great job, by the way. First, before we talk about the future, I have one more comment to add relative to the past and the present, and that is that for a program like this to be successful, it's every department within the organization that must embrace it, but it all starts at the top, and I need to give Supervisor Bill O'Brien tremendous credit for his support of the loss prevention programs in Stanislaus County. He attends and participates in every safety board meeting. He is a fierce advocate of safety in the workplace, and his attitude and support of our initiatives has made a difference and has resulted in significant savings across the county. Creating a safe workplace must be an organizational philosophy and culture. I think we're moving in that direction. One unfortunate aspect of an organizational philosophy and culture, however, is that you have to continuously renew it. You have to identify new opportunities to be creative and to instill a sense of urgency within the organization through the ongoing meetings, through the safety board, support of the board of supervisors, David and David's support and efforts in this program. I think that we are accomplishing that. One of the challenges that we have in this fiscal year and the next several fiscal years is that as resources become scarcer and scarcer, the natural inclination is to let go of the program that you can't really see day in and day out, and you can't identify tangible outcomes as those outcomes occur. You can only look back and look at the history. And so at risk now to Stanislaus County as an organization is the safety program as we look at trying financial times. Stress in the workplace among employees gets greater, and so the need is significantly greater this year than it was last year, and it will be that much greater next year than it is this year to support and move productive and successful safety and loss prevention programs forward. We have an outstanding safety program in the CEO's office, and it's actually quite simple, but it is also exceptionally successful, and it revolves around the competition among several groups of county employees. One of my favorite parts of this is the safety suggestion piece, and in our program, in order to be eligible as a winner each quarter, each team has to submit a safety suggestion that is implemented and put in place. So you could have 100 suggestions and none of them put in place and it doesn't count, or you can have one that makes a difference in people's lives. And what I see is that day in and day out, and I hear it in the hallways, and I hear it every time I turn around, employees in the CEO's office are looking around and they're saying, hey, if we do this, then we can win the safety award this next quarter. And the byproduct of that is that our workplace is safer and safer. And for that, I want to thank CEO staff and those of you who are creative enough to think up a program that really does instill within the organization on a day-to-day basis the culture necessary to be successful in the long term. In summary, we do have a successful program, but only because it's embraced by the employees. We make it fun when we can. We make it arduous when we must. But at all times, we look ahead and we embrace safety as a cultural component of Stanislaus County government. That is our report.
Thank you. These are very commendable results, and we certainly approve of and support continuing this emphasis. It was clear that in 2005 there was an event that took place from the statistics, and that was when Supervisor O'Brien showed up. So as our resident Yoda, do you have anything you'd like to add to the...
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's all the employees of Stanislaus County that these results are for. I came in and looked at a couple things, and that was that we weren't meeting quorum on safety board meetings, and so I used my bully pulpit in order to get there. But it's not me. It's all the employees of Stanislaus County. We looked at the money savings that workers' comp could save us, and it's been millions of dollars. But the most important thing is, you know, you put that slide up where we had so many reductions of injuries, and each injury is painful for that employee, painful for that family, and so it's the quality of life. And so there's two aspects of it. And I would love to see under 200. I hope we can get there. That would just be awesome. Yeah. So, great presentation.
Thank you again, everyone.
Just one more point I think is very relevant, and that is that our safety incentive program is a $5 Starbucks or Jamba Juice or some Subway card for each member of the safety team. We've spent, I think, $14,000. Is that what it was?
Over the entire
life of this program. And I will tell you that these employees worked very hard to get that $5 card each quarter, and it has paid dividends 100 times over to the benefit of Stanislaus County.
Well done. Thank you. Okay, we have opportunity for public comment. Anyone that cares to address the board on an item not on the agenda, this would be the appropriate time to do that. Okay, seeing no one, then we will go to the consent calendar. I was thinking that probably this would be the first and only meeting where we had one single vote and approved it, but this just in, staff have decided that they would like to pull one of the items. So we'll pull C2 and hear that separately, and we'll entertain a motion for approval of the balance of consent calendar.
Make a motion to approve consent calendar.
Any second? We have a motion for approval by Supervisor Chiesa, second by Supervisor DeMartini. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. And then we'll move then to item C2.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Machado. Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring, Matt Machado, Director of Public Works. I apologize for the late notice. I was reading through some of the detail backing up this item, and I found a couple of typos in there that I'd really like to correct before the board takes final action on this environmental document for McHenry Widening. So I'd like the opportunity to not take action this morning on the item. I'll bring it back at the next board meeting and go from there.
Okay, so we're not going to make any action on today. We're
that would be my request.
Pull
it from today's agenda.
Okay, I don't think we need action on that. Do we just affect that?
Okay, great.
Thank you. We'll hear it another time then.
So you were successful in the first meeting since I've been here of not having a 9% item.
This is a one vote meeting. And don't confuse out with a dictatorship. We have then correspondence, please.
This board has received a letter from the State of California Fish and Game Commission regarding a notice of proposed regulatory action relating to the Barramundi fish.
Please refer this to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer them to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any board reports today? Could we have a Chief Executive Officer report, please?
Yes, as you will recall, about a month ago, 4 weeks ago, was the deadline for submitting bills for consideration. This coming Friday is the final day to submit for the legislature to introduce bills for consideration before the legislature. So that deadline is coming fast. The word that we have is the budget action will really kick in beginning the week of February 22nd after the bill deadline is met. Working on a number of bills now. Steinberg is taking a leadership role relative to proposed budget changes, but is not sharing that information publicly at this time. The big threat right now we see in the early stages of the revised budget is takes in the transportation programs. Reports is that Steinberg is working on a budget language that would authorize locals to raise revenue to backfill a shift away from property tax to excise tax in, sales tax to excise tax in the transportation arena. That, in fact, would improve the state's general fund position, but put local governments in the position of having to impose a tax on their local constituencies to support transit programs. It is an odd and difficult program to understand. This is just coming out now as we get more information and can start putting the pieces together. It differs in one major respect from the governor's proposal in that the governor did not have a local tax initiative that was associated with or tied to his proposal. We don't know yet whether this would be a tax that would require voter approval or if it would be established in some fashion as a fee and maybe with an attempt to bypass voter approval. But in any event, we do believe that if authorized, it would require that the board take, at a minimum, that the board would take specific action to impose a new fee or tax. The the process going forward over the next several weeks is going to be very interesting as both the Republicans and Democrats begin to vie for position to begin to address the shortfall that must be addressed prior to the 2010-11 fiscal year. We're fortunate relative to SB 85 and COGDIL. That bill is still sitting in local government committee after passing out of the assembly on a 71-0 vote. That bill, as you recall, will provide some short-term relief to Stanislaus County relative to the negative bailout that we are forced to provide back to the state of California. We are continuing to work on the federal arena, putting together our legislative platform for our D.C. collaborative trip and developing a local county platform which is similar in some respects and different in others, as some of the initiatives that the county has specifically will not be those that are carried back in the collaborative, and yet we do believe that all will be complementary as we move forward with our federal platform.
Okay, thank you. We have a couple of announcements listed in the agenda. First is there's a Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors Planning Workshop
that's scheduled for Friday, February the 12th of this year from 8 to 3:30 at the Martin Peterson Event Center, 720 12th Street here in Modesto. Second event is tonight and tomorrow night, Stanislaus County 8th Annual Community Conference at County Center 3, the Learning Center, over at 912 Oakdale Road in Modesto. And those times are from 6 to 8:30 p.m. tonight and 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Tomorrow night. That concludes our public agenda. We have a closed session. Mr. Dorn.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a number of items on closed session this morning. First is conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 954957.6. And that is the agency negotiator is Richard Robinson, and the labor organizations are all the county bargaining units as listed in the agenda. Second is conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation involving two cases. First case is Building Industry Association of Central California versus County of Stanislaus et al. Stanislaus County Superior Court case number 622705. And the case James Wells et al. Versus County of Stanislaus et al., United States District Court, Eastern District of California, case number 108CV01146, OWWGSA. And that will be held pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision A. And finally, is conference with legal counsel. Anticipated litigation to discuss one case pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision C, and we may expect one report out of one of the existing litigation cases.
Yeah. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.